Right, well, good afternoon. I'm Don Campbell. I'm the Principal Advisor of the Health within NZFSA.
And I'm Lisa Regan. I'm a Senior Advisor within the Science Group of NZFSA.
And I'm Trish Ransdett, and I'm the Assistant Director of International Policy.
And thanks for coming. The reason we asked you to come in today is we're going to be releasing a risk profile on caffeine in energy drinks and energy shots. And once you begin to look at it, you'll see it's a reasonably scientific document. So we thought it was easier to invite you in and explain a little round background of it and let you ask questions. So we'll give you a short presentation and then ask questions. I'll just say a couple of things. First of all, what's a risk profile? It's a term we use which is looking at the context and background of what we call a food hazard combination. In this case, caffeine in energy drinks and energy shots. And it's to inform our risk managers. It's not a risk assessment where you really go into vast amounts of data and try to get it down to, you know, if someone consumed a gram, what would be the exact health effect. And we work on the basis that we try to have a risk management question, and ours was looking at are there subgroups within the New Zealand population who could be at risk of adverse effects from consuming these products. So we contracted ESR to carry out this risk profile for us. And Ursula described the findings out of it.
So we asked ESR to collect some information for us, and they undertook a literature review. And this was looking at research around caffeine levels in food, because caffeine occurs naturally in some foods, tea, coffee, cocoa, and then any foods that contain those ingredients will also have caffeine in them as well. And caffeine is in cola drinks, your Coke, Pepsi type products as well. They looked at caffeine adverse effects and also the levels that these adverse effects might kick in at, how much you needed to take, and what might be a safe or an unsafe level of caffeine for the New Zealand population. So we looked at the baseline caffeine intakes for different population groups in New Zealand, and this was the caffeine that you would normally take in your tea, coffee or any other foods. And we also went out to see what caffeine levels there are in the energy drinks and energy shots that are available in New Zealand. The results from the literature review showed that the most common adverse effects are short-term. They include dizziness, rapid heartbeat, high blood pressure, irritability, anxiety, tremors and insomnia. Caffeine intake in healthy adults up to 400 milligrams a day is unlikely to result in any adverse effects. And to put this into perspective, that's equivalent to about 4 lattes a day. There are no studies reported for chronic effects of caffeine consumption by children, so a bit of a data gap. But there is some quite strong evidence that caffeine consumption may affect baby's growth during pregnancy, which could result in a low birth weight baby. The results from the baseline caffeine intakes are really interesting. The baseline data was taken from nutrition surveys. The children's one was done in 2002 when energy drinks were just available on the New Zealand market, so there was a little bit of data in there for children between 5 and 15. The adult data was done in 1997, so energy drinks weren't around there, so there's another big data gap in there. What we identified first were the percent of children within these surveys, teenagers, young adults, who consume caffeine as part of their normal diet. So that came out that like 73% of children consume caffeine through mostly tea and cola type drinks. It's pretty consistent around the 70s, 80s, but higher in adults than older people who tend to drink a lot more tea and coffee. So more people are consuming caffeine on a normal day-to-day basis. They worked out the average intake in milligrams per day, so that's milligrams of caffeine per day for each of those population groups. And then we calculated that as milligrams per kilogram body weight per day, because that's what we looked at for the adverse effect level. And that varies because children are a lot lighter, although their average intake is quite low because their actual body weight is lower, the milligrams per kilogram per day is higher because of that. And down the bottom, main source, I've already talked about basically tea, coffee and cola type drinks. When we went out to look for products, most of the drinks and shops we looked at in Christchurch, but we consider that's a place where a lot of these products tend to come into the country, so it was a good place to start. We found 28 energy drinks on sale, with the caffeine level ranging between 75 and 240 milligrams per retail unit, so that's basically per can or bottle of energy drink. Found 16 energy shots, and the caffeine level in these ranged between 10 and 300 milligrams per retail unit. And most of the caffeine shots come in containers, small containers, so they're small volume shots. And then to put that into perspective, an espresso has about 80 milligrams of caffeine in a shot, latte close to 100, tea is about 55, and cola drinks work out to about 48 milligrams in a can of Coke. We then went on and did a theoretical risk calculation on groups that we identified as being most at risk, and we took their baseline intake and then added between 1 and 4 energy shots or energy drinks to that. And then we calculated the percent of the group that would exceed an adverse effect level of 3 milligrams per kilogram body weight per day. And this, the 3 milligrams per kilogram body weight per day is the adverse effect level at which there is evidence of increased short-term anxiety effects. So that is when you can notice increased anxiety in all age groups at that level. So the results of that, ASR decided that the children, teenagers and young males were our most at-risk groups. Children because of their low body weight, and young males because they tend to drink a lot of these products, they found through the literature search. We've got the baseline as the top line, so that's just what they would consume on a normal day. And then we added in one drink or energy shot and worked out the caffeine level in milligrams per kilogram body weight per day. You can see for children that about 68% of them exceeded the 3 milligrams per kilogram body weight per day. That's if they consumed an energy drink or an energy shot. It dropped down for the teenagers because they have a bigger body weight. We just wanted to put this into context that young males already consume baseline 3.5 milligrams per kilogram body weight per day. So on a normal daily basis, they're already exceeding that 3 milligrams per kilogram body weight per day adverse effect level. The same with adults and older people. A lot of them are already going above that without adding in energy drinks or energy shots. So what we found when ESR did this is that there's a whole lot of data missing to actually go past the theoretical, all those results are theoretical, because we don't know whether children and teenagers are actually consuming energy drinks or energy shots. There's no hard data, there's some anecdotal evidence, but we don't know for sure. If they do consume them, we don't know which groups are, what they're consuming, is it the drinks or the energy shots, and how much and how often are they consuming these products. The adverse effect level is based on weak evidence of increased anxiety. Another thing we thought should be done is actually checking that the caffeine levels in the product are what is claimed on the label, because the research was done on label claim. Sometimes industry can put in more so that there's a sufficient level if the product is tested and close to the end of its expiry date. And also through processing there can be different amounts going in. And also, there's no evidence of chronic or long-term effects from caffeine intake in any part of the population.
Right, well, since 2002, energy drinks have been regulated under the Australia and New Zealand Food Standards Code. Now, these are the requirements for energy drinks, and there's also a level of cap. You've got to have the level on the label, and there is a composition requirement as well. Energy shots, of course, weren't around in 2002 when the Food Standards Code standard was assessed and issued. So the energy shots, which, as Ursula said, are the small volume substances rather than the drinks themselves, were regulated under the dietary supplement regs, and now under a new standard called the Supplemented Food Standard. The Supplemented Food Standard picks up the same requirements as the Food Standard Code does.
Okay,
Okay, we've given a copy of the risk profile to Fazans. They are looking at this and they'll add it to the other information they have. And separate to that, Australia has actually been reviewing some of the evidence on caffeine consumption. They've asked one of their health committees to look at this. We'll be working through the system, through the joint system, to look at any issues that this risk profile generates and that the Zans come up with in the in their work.
That's the presentation. So, questions?
On the regulation issue, is it correct that Australia has a much lower threshold for caffeine in, say, energy drinks than New Zealand, but New Zealand energy drinks are entering Australia under Trans-Tasman harmonisation of trade regulations, so they're actually getting higher caffeine drinks over there?
There are two categories, as I said. There's the energy drinks, which are the beverages, and that's a joint standard, so that's the same level for both New Zealand and Australia. The shots, however, they are, in effect, a caffeine supplement, and they are not regulated under the Food Standards Code in Australia, and they do enter Australia through the Trans-Tasman Mutual Recognition Project.
And have you had any indication that from the Australians that in the course of their review that they'll seek to address that and stop the entry of such drinks from New Zealand?
No.
Or ask New Zealand to stop the sale of shots?
What we're looking to do is, as we said, is work through the joint system. Ideally, all food standards, you know, as much as possible, would be joint. So when the Food Standards Code looked at the drinks, the shots weren't around. They weren't included in that scope. So now that they are around, obviously it's ideal to get through the joint system as well.
So you would envisage in the long term the same standard applying to caffeine-containing shots on both sides of the Tasman?
Well, once there's a process, and the and my colleagues will probably address this more accurately, the any standard has to go through an assessment process, and the shots haven't been through that process as yet.
Wouldn't you say in one of the slides that there's evidence that caffeine consumption may affect babies' growth during pregnancy? Is there any kind of data around what level is safe and what's not?
There's a few studies out there, and they're slightly discrepant on the levels. There's one from the UK about 3 years ago that was down at about 200 or 300 milligrams, and then there's a more recent one out of the US, which is up at about 500. So that the advice that we are giving, and our health colleagues around the world as well, to pregnant women is to minimise their consumption. But we are not saying, you know, take four is bad, three's safe. That cannot be said at the moment.
So what is safe?
Well, I would argue you cannot say what is safe. We can say what will reduce your risk, and our advice is minimising what the drink, reducing it to as low as possible.
The data did show that it's about 125 milligrams is the baseline intake for pregnant women.
Which is about a reasonably strong cup of coffee.
Yeah, so maybe two teams.
Is there any way of telling, how much you can drink or how much different sizes and weight people can drink, so that they don't exceed that safe limit that you talked about, so that it doesn't go over that? I guess it would be different for different people, wouldn't it, or different sizes. Is there a sort of...
I think we have to be clear. What we've been doing here is we've been making estimates. These aren't real people.
Yes.
This is estimates of what, if they consumed that, you know, as you saw, 68% of children under our scenario would reach this. So it's not an actual individual we're saying it for.
Yes.
And also our adverse effects. effect that we've said is a very conservative one and set at an anxiety level. Now that is, is a very conservative threshold of effect we're taking.
Yes. So you said about four lattes is a sort of conservative estimate there. So is there any way I can extrapolate that out and say that it's more or less cups of coffee for bigger and smaller people? Is there any way that I can get that kind of... I know it's really simplified,
no, well, and I think I have to be careful. Our focus is not on cups of coffee. What we've been really looking at are these energy shots and energy drinks and what they give in excess of your normal, all of our normal background consumption.
Yeah.
Do you have concerns about the sheer number and vigorous, targeting of the teenage audience with these types of drinks? Is that something you find worrying?
The industry have just got together to put a code out on marketing and to actively not market to children. And, I guess by a teenager, what are we going from 13 to 19? That's a huge difference in age. So I think the industry has recognised in our discussions with them that it's most important that they don't target children.
It's tricky though, because that's their key audience really, isn't it, or their key market. So are they coming up against some resistance at all from...
Not at all. I don't think it is their key market from what...
No, when you go onto some of the websites, there was on the Monster one, today, and they're really marketing at older teenagers and young males because it's all at car racing and look at babes. So they are targeting the higher end of the teenage.
And our message very much is that, as you heard, the labelling requirement, and for to emphasise that, and that these aren't products that young children should be consuming. That's very much the message.
To what extent do these estimates take into account the fact that overseas research shows that people become acclimatized is the wrong word, but they develop a tolerance for the effects of caffeine with chronic increased exposure?
We cannot take that into account. We had to base it on an acute effect but I would emphasise that all the time it's been a very conservative effect level that we've worked with.
Mm-hmm. Do you think medically that, for instance, the effect of short-term anxiety effects in males taking excess caffeine, that this may actually not persist if they are consistently taking high doses of caffeine?
The evidence isn't there either way on that, and measuring anxiety is actually quite a difficult thing. Most of this is self-reported anxiety rather than psychological measurement. And I mean, I've got to emphasise again the chronic and the long-term effects.
That the evidence of that has not been found. Is the amount of work that's been done on this in the wash-up worth the effort that's been made, considering that there doesn't appear to be a significant damage to society from the condition of excess caffeine?
When we get any issue, we look at it, and I won't bore you with a risk management framework, but one of the beginnings of it is doing a profile like this, and often then the risk manager says sufficient. It's quite rare that we go on to the actual detailed risk assessment, which can keep someone like me happy for 2 or 3 years at a time doing it. So profiling is a common starting one in our risk management framework. And we do quite a lot of these, probably haven't done so many in the chemical area, in the microbiological area. If you go on a website, you'll find a whole lot of these.
Is there any evidence of psychological, physiological addiction to caffeine?
Not that I am clear on, no.
Can I just ask, your recommendation that parents and caregivers don't give energy drinks and energy shots to young children and young teenagers, does that also apply to tea and coffee? Do you think that they should not be given those as much?
I think, remember, this is based on the background plus it added on. I think we would not say stop giving it, but low doses, we're not possibly advocating that young children before they went to school were all going for a latte en route, but certainly tea. We've got to remember that it's also water we're getting as well as this, so there is a fluid side of it.
That's diarrhea. Yeah.
We would be advocating for balanced intake, not large intakes.
So would you say minimise the same premium?
Yeah, I think our message would be continue as normal with that, but exist supplementing it with these various ones as our message.